I had studied on this, I guess, a little different way. And this morning about 3 o'clock, I woke up, and boy, it was just, all I could say is that I knew I couldn't go about it that way. So then I had to go to praying and see what the Lord would have us to do. And I pray that we're where we're supposed to be. I mentioned last week being the unprepared is, or I mentioned a lot. Maybe I've been last week. Being unprepared is my biggest fear. And I want to be prayed up, and I want to be studied up, and try to do the best I can for the Lord. But I want to read some very familiar scriptures from 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We normally read these to do with discipline, they're good ones to use with discipline. But today I want to look at it just a little bit different, or one part of this. A little bit different, and so y'all pray for us that we might be able to get this right. We've got a revival coming up, and or an effort meeting, and I pray that it'll break out in revival. I feel like for some time now that we've not had the power in our churches, not just at Hilltop, but in our churches in general for some time, and that really worries me. It concerns me. And it's worried me lately about, you know, and I'm thankful we're getting to meet out here in the parking lot in this capacity. I'm thankful for the ones that follow the Lord and everything. But I don't want us to get into some kind of routine to come and we have 3 or 4 songs and then me preach and then just stand here and not have nothing to do and then just dismiss because we feel like we don't know what to do. And I'm afraid that's happened some along the way, and that concerns me a lot because we don't want to get to the point that I'm glad the Bible says fail not to assemble yourself together, and I'm glad we're doing that. Don't get me wrong in none of this. I'm glad we have this opportunity we have. Don't get me wrong in none of that. I'm thankful for visitors. I'm thankful for the ones that's testified, but I don't want us getting routines. We're not a routine church. The Lord's church is something that's set up and following the Spirit of God. And I don't think it's never good to just get in some kind of routine and just come expecting a certain thing and then just leave. I think we need to come expecting great things. And then when it's over, then leave. And I think that's the way we should come. So y'all pray for us a little while and the way to handle this in a way would be pleasing unto the Lord. He said, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not as so much as the name among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that has done this deed might be taken away from among you. For verily, verily as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I had were present concerning him that hath done this deed. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and by my spirit, with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to stop there. It goes on and tells us to deliver such one unto Satan that the flesh might be destroyed, but the soul be saved. But listen, what I want us try to look at today, Paul made the statement here in the 4th verse, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you gather together, and by my spirit, and we all realize that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit is the triune Godhead. But Paul was saying here by my spirit, and in other words, he done told them, I'm present with you in the spirit. By the same spirit that you got when you got saved, by the spirit that I have received of the Father and the Holy Spirit, when you're gathering together in this spirit, I want you to realize, Paul told them once that be followers of me, and that, but what he was saying, that is even as I follow Christ. So he was trying to tell them, you need to be spiritual in this matter, and I have been, he was saying. I've done a consultative with God, and I, even though I'm not there with you, I have prayed about this, and I've got an answer, and that's the way we should handle everything in the Spirit of God. But he goes on and tells us the true matter of the thing. He said, when you gather together with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to realize today, I think it's very important for us to gather together. It is. But we need the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've been lacking that for some time now. We need, when lost people come in among us Sunday after Sunday and sit in there and hear the testifying, hear the preaching, hear the singing, and they don't move, it tells me there's something going on. There's lacking of something, and I believe it all my heart. We lack the power of Jesus Christ being among us. That lost people would move again. That they would see. I remember when I was younger, the old church had power. You didn't just sit in there and among them. You either went to an altar or you went outside. You couldn't hardly stay among God's people because the power was there. Now listen to me. We need that kind of power. And what he was telling them, you don't do nothing without Jesus being leading you, without the power of Christ, without the authority, you might say, of Jesus Christ. We talk about church authority all the time. He told them once, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He said, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and command them all, and to teach that they might keep, teach them to keep all the commandments that I have taught you. And lo, I'll be with you all the way to the end of the world. Listen to me. He said, all power is given unto me. He didn't say all power was given unto you. He said, it's given unto me. And without Jesus Christ, we can't do nothing. That's the difference between us and other so-called denominations. They gather together Sunday after Sunday. The preacher will get up there and try to do a good job of speaking with their doctrine and what they believe. They'll sing hymns. They go through a routine, but then they leave with no power. Listen to me. We don't want to get into that. We want to be to where we have power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He told them once, I believe in Matthew 18, he said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I will be with them. Listen to me. It don't take a parking lot full for the power of Christ to be there. It only takes two or three together in his name. But listen to me. I think the more of us come expecting things from Jesus, expecting power from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if we'll come believing. I've said it over and over. It's your attitude. It's how you come to church. It's going to make a difference. If you come here not expecting anything, Larry told us that time, and I want you to know it's not changed. He stood up and he said, we began singing, and only a few were singing, and we half effortly. And he said, you're going to get out of this service what you put in it. Listen to me, it ain't changed. In 2,000 years since he set her up, it's not changed a bit. Without the power, we won't be able to do nothing. And I want you to know, if we come expecting nothing, that's exactly what you're going to get. If you come expecting just to show up and that your car might be seen and that you might even be seen sitting in it, you're not going to get nothing. But listen to me, if you'll come believing and expecting the power of Christ to meet with us, I want you to know He will. I believe that in all my heart. There's power in Jesus Christ. And I want you to know He has it all. He told them, in the 23rd chapter of Matthew, to do with the gathering, He said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that kill the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." I want you to know, I read that here a while back when this all got started. I talked about how her house is empty. I want you to know that ain't what I'm worried about. I'm worried about the house of a living God, which is you. And I don't want her to be left desolate or empty. Listen to me. We've got to help. Power from Jesus. He said, "How oft would I gather thee?" He wants to take care of us. Just an old chicken takes care of our little ones. Yeah, I was raised up with chickens. Back in the day, we all had chickens. They run around the yard, picked around out there, you know, bugs and worms or whatever they might find. But you can let an old hawk come through, let it fly over, and that chicken see the shadow of that hawk flying over, and she'd go to clucking, and she'd go to raising her wings up, and her little ones would come and gather under her, and she would protect them. I want you to know, when we gather together, we need Jesus. Without Him, we can't do nothing. But with Him, we have all power. I want you to realize, through Jesus Christ, we can do anything. There's no limit to what we can do. So it's so important, when we gather together, that we gather under the power of Jesus Christ. Listen to me. There was one that was sick one time, and I'm going to probably read quite a bit to you today, but I want to make my point, and I want to make my point clear, that we need power in our church. We need power in all of our churches, and that's why we don't have it no more. Because no longer we will gather ourselves together. No longer we will have fellowship anymore. And I believe that is killing us from within. Like the cancer we've talked about so many Sundays that people are dying from. Our house is going to be left desolate. I want you to know it's going to be empty. We've got to have fellowship. It's not a need for, it's a necessity. We've got to have it. If we don't have fellowship, and if we don't have power from on high, we are going to see our children and grandchildren die and go to a devil's hell. You say, "Well, my ticket's punched. My grandbabies ain't. My great-grandbabies ain't. I ain't even seen them yet, but I'm praying for them already." Listen to me. We've got to have it. And we've got to get to work. We come together. And if this situation don't change us, then tell me what will. If this won't bring us to repentance, what's it going to take to do it? For us to come together. Mark chapter 2. And again he entered in Capernaum after some days. And it was known that he was in the house. People knew it. And straightway many were gathered together, inasmuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not as much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. That's what we're still doing today. I want you to know there shouldn't be any room left in this parking lot. There should be people parked from here to 52. I pray that them speakers will come to you someday, that people will be parked all over the country to come and hear what Jesus has to say. Because it ain't what us preachers have to say that matters. It's what matters, what Jesus has to say. I want you to know I was satisfied in where I was at. I would have come and preached what I'd studied. I would have come and preached what I'd prayed on. But at 3 o'clock this morning, he said no, and it ain't about me, it's about Jesus and what he wants. I want you to know it's important that we gather together to hear the word of God, to hear what Jesus has to say. And they come unto him and bring in one sick of the palsy, which is born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to them of the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why doeth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" Listen, and immediately when Jesus perceived in the spirit that they reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, "Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk." But listen what he says then. He says, "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power," listen, "on earth to forgive sins." He saith to the sick of the palsy, "I say to thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thy house." And immediately he arose and took his bed and went forth before them, all inasmuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw it on this fashion." Honey, we have never saw the power of Jesus Christ in the fashion that he can show it. We've not had enough faith. We've not had the faith that them men had that brought their friend, I believe they knew him. They done all they could. They got there. They couldn't get to Christ by walking through the crowd. It was too thick, just like the woman with the issue of blood. But listen to me. Where there's a will, Jesus will make a way. And honey, they took the roof off that building by faith, believing if they got into Jesus, he would show the power on earth as he would in heaven. And he did when they gathered themselves together in the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to me. Honey, things ain't changed none. Jesus ain't changed none. Listen, we have changed. The power ain't with us no more, because we don't come to the house of God believing, bringing our lost loved ones, that God is going to save them. When we come believing that he'll save them, I believe it all my heart. He will. I've told it over and over. Brother Don Curtis said when first time he was at Maple Grove number 2, he said, "Brother Jill," he said, "well, those folks got to believing every Sunday. When they got there, somebody's going to get saved." I said, "Don, what happened?" He said, "Oh, they did." Listen to me. When you come believing that the power of Christ is going to show up, he will show up. Herod had done slayed. I don't want to mess it up. I just go read it. In the 12th chapter of Acts, Now about the time that Herod the king stretched forth his hands and vexed certain of the church, he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to the four quadrants of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came unto him, and the light shined in the prison, and it smote Peter on the side, and raised him up, saying, "Arise, go quickly," and the chains fell off from his hands. Listen to me. I know Peter was always saved. But listen to me, this is a picture of salvation here. It was a picture of God's people praying for somebody. And the angel coming, I want you to know it, Rocky Mount, when I prayed back there in the back of the house, the angel of God, the Father come down, and he entered into me, the Spirit entered into me, and Jesus entered into me, and the change come off of me, and I was no longer bound to the devil. Listen, I know Peter was saved, but look at this as a picture of the lost person. Listen to me. We have got to get where we believe they're going to get released from the chains. Gird thyself and bind up thy sandals. And so did he. And so did he. He did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about and follow me. I want you to know how that garment was sold away, and honey, he was given a new garment. Listen to me. The old garment was gone, and he got the new one. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened, and they went out and passed through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was coming to himself, he said, "Now I know." Did you ever remember a time coming to yourself? You ever remember a time to where you had spent time with the Lord, and then all of a sudden you come to yourself, you can't remember all about what just happened? Listen to me, honey, it happened to me too. And I want you to know, she's a picture there. Listen. He came to himself and he said, "Now I know for surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And when he had considered the thing, he came into the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Listen to me. They gathered together expecting Jesus to deliver Peter. And even when it happened, they couldn't believe it. There was one named Rhoda had come to the door when Peter knocked at the door. She didn't believe it. I want you to know, I've seen times when things happen and Jesus saved souls. I had a hard time believing what just happened. Back last fall, my son-in-law was sitting back there in the back. I had prayed for him and prayed for Bobby, and I wanted to see them and know that they'd been saved. And one night we was here during the revival, and the power of our Lord Jesus Christ was among us. And he began to kneel right there on about the front or second row on the right-hand side. And after a while, he kneeled there, and he come up there and told me, "I've got it." And I said, "What?" I couldn't believe what he was telling me. And he said, "I've got saved." Listen to me. I lost it there. Listen to me. We have not seen the power that can be shown. We think we've seen power back years ago when we was younger. We ain't seen nothing. The power we can see if we would believe. If we would just believe. I want you to know our lost loved ones, they could take up their bed and walk. Our lost loved ones, the chains would be lifted from them. And once again, I'm not so dumb to think Peter wasn't saved. I know he was, but it was still a picture that you can see there of what happened. Listen, if we'll believe, if we'll come together and preach the gospel believing, let me ask you preachers this. Have y'all ever come and God laid something on your heart and you just know things was going to happen? Boy, you were just all fired up about it and you just know things are going to happen. You come preach, do the very best you can, and just nothing happened. And you think, Lord, the whole time I studied and meditated and prayed about this, I just know a bunch of people is going to get saved, the church is going to be revived, and this people is going to testify and they talk about this meeting for years to come. And you ever think that maybe it wasn't you failed? You ever think that everybody didn't come together? It wasn't at least two or three that gathered together in His name? You ever think that maybe the church wasn't in condition to receive a message like that? You ever wonder where the power of our Lord Jesus Christ is? It's easy to blame the pastor. We can blame the revival helper. Hey, I'll take my part of it. I know I'm not always where I need to be. If I was where I need to be, I wouldn't have been up at 3 o'clock this morning trying to figure out what the Lord wanted. I'll take my share. But I think it's time for the Church of the Living God to start taking their share of it too. I think it's time that we understand that when we gather together, we need to gather together in the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If we just make a routine out of this, that's all it's going to be. The church will maybe hang on, yeah. Maybe we'll get a little further down the road. But I want more than that. I want to see the power of Christ. I want to see it come down out here in this parking lot in such a manner that lost people run to up here to get to a place to kneel and bow, not worried or concerned about somebody seeing them. I want to see us tearing the roof off that we might be able to get them to Him. I want to see us praying without ceasing, gathering together and praying without ceasing until their chains has been took off of them. I want to come believing that the Lord's going to save souls every Sunday. Will you come believing with me? Blow your horn if you'll come believing with me. Do you want to have a revival? Do you want to have a revival that you want to change 220 around? Y'all want to change 2020? There's one or two or three here that's got saved this year. It's already been a pretty good year for them. But if you want to change this year and turn it into something that we'll remember, that the year that a parking lot got saved, that God's people repented, that we had one of them meetings like we've had before where everybody goes to shouting and we think we're going to have to baptize the whole bunch again. You want to have it? Then start believing. Amen. Start praying. Amen. Start trying to get them here. Make an effort. He sent them once out of the highways and hedges that they might gather together there at the bride, at the wedding. Listen to me. one of them together, together in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because without Him, we can't do nothing. We can add them to our paper, our book roll, and we can take them off. But without the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't do nothing. I think I'm about done. I pray the Lord would get honor and glory out of this. You say, well, Brother Jeff, we're doing the best we can. Are we? We're coming. And I'm thankful you are. I'm thankful you've not failed to assemble yourself together. But next Sunday when we come, let's come in a different manner. Let's come believing. Let's come wanting power from on high. And I want you to know the preaching of the cross is the power of salvation. Listen to me. If the preaching has power in it, I want you to know the gospel will go out. You know how the preacher has more power? By the people praying more. Pray for the preacher. Pray for the word. And pray that the power of Jesus Christ would come back to their churches. Pray for fellowship once again among His people, that His people who are called by His name will humble themselves. Listen, we need Him. We need Him. And we need Him in the worst way. We need Him more than I've ever seen in my lifetime. We need Jesus. What was it Andrew preached to us? I'll never forget it. I like to say it like he said it. We need Jesus. Amen. And he told us over and over through that sermon, we need Jesus. And without Him, we can't do it. But with Him, we can do anything. So if you want to see more, pray more. If you want to have more, believe more. Ask and you shall receive. Knock and it shall be given. It shall be opened. Let's start knocking. Let's start asking. And we'll start receiving. I'm done.